In Ireland, nothing gets us talking like lions.
Tea?
Small talk.
Well, Jimmy, shocking weather we're having.
Big talk.
Even I could have played county. Office talk.
I'm MIA in the AM, but I'll circle back on the KPIs.
Real talk.
Milk before tea? Should be a criminal offence.
You could say we talk too much.
But the truth is,
we don't talk nearly enough. Lions puts the talk into tea.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
There's been a significant drop in school attendance since the pandemic. And you might have heard Kieran Shane talking about this earlier this morning. Like, since last year and the previous year, so from 2022 to 2023, 25% of primary school students missed more than 20 days and 20% of secondary school students missed more than 20 days. Like, when you think about it, that's what, a week at Halloween. Do they get a week? 10 days around Christmas. There's another week in February, isn't there, for the midterm? There must be 2 weeks at Easter. And then on top of that, 25% of primary school students are missing a month extra, 20 days. And look, there could be a whole host of reasons, and I've no doubt parents are going to get in touch to say it's not all about pulling the kids out to go on holidays a little bit earlier. But I do want to hear, why are kids been taken out of school for more than, like, it's in excess, actually, of 20 days is what we're talking about. Pam is with me on the line today. Pammy, are you surprised by these figures?
Yeah, I'm actually very surprised. I couldn't believe it, actually, when I found out. I think that's, like, a huge number of kids missing school. Like, I don't think people realise, like, kids need to go to school. It's so important for their development, for their growth, for social skills, education. And obviously, I know kids might have, like, medical reasons or, you know, physical and mental reasons they can't go to school, which is fine. But I think nowadays kids are anxious because of the phones, and they're kind of using that as an excuse that they don't want to go to school. I don't really know the reasons why, but I'm very kind of old school. I make sure my kids go to school, and unless they're, like, they have a high temperature, that's the only reason I keep them off. But I think the phones is playing a huge part. I'm causing kids to have kind of anxiety now and not want to go to school. There's probably a bullying aspect there as well. I don't really know, but yeah, I'm actually quite shocked at the figures.
Do you think it is even as serious as that? It's actually the children that are looking to not go to school. Like, even when you hear the figures for at primary level, Pam?
Well, parents will be making their kids go to school. It could be parents as well that might be bothered to send their kids to school. Or there could be, I don't know, there could be other factors at home, where they mightn't be able to go to work or something, or I don't know. But I think parents need to be more strict with their children and saying to the kids, like, they have to go to school, and that's it. That's where I am at home anyway. I'm very old school. So, but there could be, there's a lot of aspects and there's a lot of different things going on in the home that we don't know about it. But if it's just the fact that the child doesn't want to go to school and the parents are bothered to send them to school, like, that's a serious issue. Like, they're just setting them up for really bad, for failure when they get old, for jobs and stuff as well. Like, it's bad routine, bad form. So that's my thought on it anyway.
How much of it do you think is down to holidays?
Sorry?
Like, how much of the school attendance are these, the absenteeism figures that we're talking about today? Sorry, I should say, these figures are from the Department of Education's Inspectorate report, in case anybody's wondering what we're talking about. But how much of the missing kids in school do you think, though, Pam, is just down to parents taking them out to go on holidays or trips?
Well, primary, I'd say it's probably all parents. For secondary, it could be more the teenagers. I don't know, but I'd say for primaries, it's mostly because, like, a young child's not going to say, like, oh, I want to stay at home. The parents are going to send them to school, so it's probably the parents and probably taking them for holidays. Well, I know it's very expensive to bring children on holidays during the summer and stuff. That's another aspect as well. But I don't know why, like, the teachers should be kind of contacting the parents as well to say, like, why is your children missing so much school? Like, there's a bit of a leniency there as well. I don't think the schools chase it up as much either. So maybe if there was, I don't know, they brought in some sort of, you know, you have to, if your child misses a certain day of school, you know, they'll lose their place in the school, or they'll be, I know they fine over in England. Obviously, no one's fine.
We were talking about that a couple of months back, actually, yeah.
Idea of it. There's something needs to be brought in because children are missing out on their education. And, like, I don't think they realise, like, there's evidence-based studies out there that children need to go to school for their development and for the development of their brain. Like, they need to be in school. I don't think parents realise that as well, the necessity of education. But when they get older, when they want to go to college and stuff, like, if they miss out when they're growing up, like, when primary is the most crucial time for their brain development, and if they're missing out on, and, like, it's really going to be, they're going to struggle when they go into secondary school.
So you think the schools are too lean? Is it fair though to put that? You think the schools should have to contact parents about it?
Well, I think they should. If they're missing more than like 15 or 16 days without a valid reason, then I think the school should kind of say, look, why is your child? Because they're not going to be loads of children missing like school. But if just certain kids are constantly missing, they need to kind of be proactive and trying to see what's the problem and maybe help them. Yeah, and chase it up and kind of put a strategy into place and maybe say, right, why is the child missing school? Mm. Let's put a plan in action and let's try and deal with this. Instead of the child missing school, the child's going to suffer. Maybe the parents are struggling to bring the child to school. You don't know what's going on in people's heads. You know, there could be a lot of different reasons.
Stay with us, Pam, for a few moments, if you don't mind. I'm sure there is. I'm sure there's loads of reasons as to why children are probably out of school. I want to hear about them. It's 1800 453 106. Craig Petrie is the principal at the East Glendalough School in Wicklow. Craig, just first of all, are you surprised at these figures? 25% missing at primary school level and 20% at secondary.
I suppose I am a bit surprised to hear that it's that high. It's something that I suppose all of us in school leadership have been aware of coming off the back of COVID, that attendance is not as good as it was. And I guess there's loads and loads of reasons for that. But it still did stop me a bit in my tracks when I was talking to your researcher earlier on.
And I was surprised at it.
This is where it is. So I look, regardless of the reasons for it, it's something that needs attention. And I suppose it's bringing that front and centre now. I would say that I think coming off the back of COVID, we were telling people, like I was really conscious, we were telling people, stay at home. Don't be coming in. Don't be bringing COVID into the school. And that was a far cry from where we used to be, which was, you know, even if your leg is hanging off, get into school.
You have to go in.
You have to go in. And that, you know, we tough it out.
See,
Things have changed a little bit.
Yeah. Is that what happened, Craig? Like, you know, some people will argue that education, look, our approach to COVID is something we've heard many reviews and you know, analysis of over the years, over the past 2 years. And I know people have fairly split views and opinions about how we dealt with the COVID pandemic and the lockdown. But we did sort of tell people, you don't need to come to school. Sure, your parents can do this. They can teach you at home. Has that reduced our importance and the weight that we put in education?
I don't think it has, but I do think that for a small group of students, it gave a window into a world where school didn't need to look like going in every day, and school was possible to do online. And for a couple of key groups within our school system, who maybe weren't the biggest fans of school but had never seen an alternative, suddenly this was opened up in front of them. And for some of those students, it did take them quite a long time to get back to school. And so school avoidance or school refusal is really the core issue here. Because when we're talking about more than 20 days, so it's not a holiday here. It's not, you know, it's not a flu, which is a week or 2 weeks. It's something additional on top of that. And that's school refusal.
It's a month off, Craig.
Yeah, it is. And like the interesting thing here is that the reason that we're using the 20 days figure is because that's where schools have to notify TUSLA, have to notify the NEWB to say, this child has been absent for that long. Now, we know that there won't be any chasing of that until it gets 60 or 80 days. We know that because they're under-resourced. But that doesn't mean, like, I'd be interested to know how many kids were on 19, 18, 17, 16 days. Because, again, that number is going to be bigger again. And I suppose it is that. And I know, Pam, your previous caller was talking about schools letting parents. I mean, we would as a matter of course, if you get to 14, 15 days, you'll get a letter from us saying, look, in a couple of days of this, we're going to have to notify the National Education Welfare Board of this.
But schools send those letters out, Craig? They do.
They do, yeah, they do. And then at a couple of key points in the year, we have to send a report to the Education Support Service to say who has missed those days. And so it's, you know, there is a way of making sure that people don't fall through the cracks. How well resourced the NEWB or TUSLA are on that is hard to say. It's hard for us to get people to the front of the queue to be seen. You know, it really needs to be an absolutely colossal problem with absences before someone will have some kind of intervention. And so it devolves to schools and parents again. Like, this isn't students who just say, no, I don't fancy it today. This is school refusal, where parents cannot get their children into school, and it's a huge issue for those families.
Okay, Carol, let me bring in Carol Craig just for a quick moment, if you don't mind. Do you think schools need to be? Are schools too lenient, Carol, about this?
I don't think it's that schools are too lenient, but it's very much, as Craig has pointed out, there is a cohort of students out there that just don't want to go to school. And I think we need to look at the reasons why that cohort of students don't want to go to school. I mean, anecdotally, I would hear it from my own children. You know, there would be certain students in their school that just never turn up for school. You know, it isn't the odd day here, the kind of the dose of the flu or I don't feel like going in today kind of. It is, you know, it's children who just do not want to go to school for whatever reason. And it's a downright, you know, absolute refusal. Possibly is there, you know, issues going on at home? I don't know. But it's definitely, it's bigger than just a student saying, I don't want to go to school. It's a cohort who, you know, just want to absent themselves entirely from the school system. And I think it's very sad.
And who do you think, like, who is the, like, where is the onus, or where should that onus be in terms of trying to deal with that then, Carol?
I think there needs to be kind of an approach from every side. Obviously, there is a big responsibility with the school. The student very much needs to be involved. You know, we come up with a lot of solutions for issues within schools, and nobody maybe stops to ask the student, why is this happening? So I think very much we need to sit down with these students, if possible, and with parents, if parents want to get involved, and figure out why these students, because what's unfortunately, you know, we have a school system. It works for the majority of students, but there's definitely a considerable cohort out there that it doesn't work for, you know, and I think we do need to involve these students. You know, we talk about, you know, there's guidelines nationally, there's this board, there's TUSLA, but does anyone, you know, at any time, and maybe it does happen, does anyone stop and sit down with these students and say, why is this happening?
Why aren't you there? Well, funny on that, a listener here has got in touch on 087-1400-106 to say, children missing school due to holiday issues, etc. That too was an issue before COVID. What has changed, though, is that parents are now more conscious of not sending children to school who are showing signs of illness, and more parents and people are working from home. So before the pandemic, many children who were ill were sent to school because there was no childcare option. Now that child is 50-50 and can be kept at home rather than being sent in because potentially mum or dad are also at home. Former principal and also featuring on school board of management's Pat McKenna's joining us too. Pat, has that caller maybe just hit the nail on the head about this?
Well, I think this is, it's multifaceted. It's a complex situation. It's been seen not just in Ireland, but in the UK and other European countries, where there's a shift in attitudes to the importance of maybe attending in school. And that shift has affected, I think there's, you know, there's the various ones post-COVID, certainly an attitudinal shift. The holidays, increase in well-being or lack of well-being, students are suffering. So there are many, many issues that are related to why the figures are showing up now, particularly schools, in fairness, and I think your previous caller there was referring to that we need a wide range of strategies, and schools do try to do this. They try to make it that it's a positive reinforcement of attending school. They talk to students about the attendance, why it's so important, how it does affect their future. But often these things come down to habits. And I was speaking to a principal this morning of Holy Child Community School in Ballynoggin, and she talked about the habit. Sometimes you get into that habit of not attending, on allowing yourself to stay at home. It's like going to the gym. If you get there, you're grand. Mm. And kids who get into school, they're saying to teachers, to principals, look, we really enjoy, but we find it hard to get here. So it's that, like the gym, once you get there, you can be fine. But it's getting them there and developing that good habit of attendance and regular. And that broke down post-COVID for many different reasons.
Okay. Guidance counsellor with an Irish Times educational correspondent, Brian Mooney, is with us here, Pat, on the line as well. Is this a problem, Brian, for schools? Like, will they have to start addressing this?
Well, you know, as you've been discussing, Andrea, there's a whole, it's like a rainbow. There are so many complex issues. There's the changing attitudes post-COVID following the fact that people were out for so long and it wasn't seen. If you could be educated from home, well, then there's a holiday issue. There's also the issue about teacher supply, and that you wonder what would that have to do with attendance. But effectively, if schools are struggling with teacher supply, quite often the teachers who are supporting kids with particular needs, whether it's autism or whatever it is, are being asked to go and do mainstream teaching because there's shortages all over the place. And therefore, those kids maybe are not getting support that they should be getting in schools, and therefore maybe they're not attending. There's the whole issue about bullying and online bullying and mental health with kids and the stress that young people are under now. And, you know, the decision, you know, to try and ban the use of mobile phones for children under certain ages in some countries now. There are so many complex issues. And the fact, again, with illness, that a lot of parents working from home can now leave the child in bed and not have to drag them out because there'll be nobody in the house to care for them. And ultimately, when you bring it all together, it's probably become societally more acceptable that the child isn't in, and, you know, what, it's only a few days. Or in the case of these children who are vulnerable, who are school refusing, effectively it kind of drags on, and effectively the child ultimately gets reported, and, you know, there's lots of issues.
Yeah, funny, I see that, Brian, actually, quite a few messages. I just didn't get around to getting to them from people talking about, you know, it's the same families. There's 2 days missed here, there's a day missed there, there's 3 days missed the following week at the next school break and term. Often people pulling them out to visit family or maybe go on holidays or go on a trip. It's unfair on the rest of the class, is this listener's message.
Yeah, because effectively, you know, prior to COVID, you went to school, as one of your previous speakers spoke about. If your leg was hanging off, you went to school. And I mean, I was in the school system for over 40 years. And effectively, you were carrying everything. You were getting chest infections because everybody was in.
Everybody went in.
Whether they were colleagues or whether they were students. And you were picking up every damn bug that was in the whole society.
Yeah.
Nowadays, parents are more conscious that post-COVID, people who are sick, they may not be welcome in school.
No, well, they'd be told, you know, stay at home, keep them out. Nikki, you just wanted to make a quick point on this as well.
Yeah, sure, I did. So my son is in junior infant. This year he's already had 10 days off due to severe illness. Basically, if his leg isn't hanging off, he goes to school. But those 10 days, I got a letter out at day 9 to tell me, hey, your kid's had 9 days off. And when I first initially got the letter, I was quite annoyed that I got the letter because every day off was explained. It was illness. It wasn't just him. I don't want to go to school today. My son runs into school. He loves these teachers. He loves his class. He always has a great time. And then I reread the letter and it said they were obligated to do so. So I sent a friendly email in being like, hey, I got the letter. I'm really sorry my son was off. Is there anything I can do better? And they're like, no, your son has, you have explained every time he's off. You're not just taking him out to go on a nice sunny vacation in Florida or whatever it happens to be. And they were fine with it because they understood, hey, he's only not coming in when it was severe, like he had temperature, he was physically sick, so he couldn't go in. But I think by the end of the school year, I'll be perfectly honest, I fully expect he's going to be off another 10 days.
Right.
Just due to serious illness.
God, he's had a tough time. But
the whole family ended up getting a sickness bug and we were all ill. Even my husband took like the week off work. We were actually just dying in the house. We didn't go anywhere or do anything. It was miserable.
Well, look, hopefully over the Christmas period, you'll get to enjoy some of the time. Nikki, Brian Mooney there, Carol, Craig, Petrie, Pat McKenna, thanks a million for joining us on Lunchtime Live.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday. On News Talk. In Ireland, nothing gets us talking like lions.
Tea?
Small talk.
Well, Jimmy, shocking weather we're having.
Big talk.
Even I could have played county. Office talk.
I'm MIA in the AM, but I'll circle back on the KPIs.
Real talk.
Milk before tea.
Should be a criminal offence.
You could say we talk too much.
But the truth is, we don't talk nearly enough.
Lions puts the talk into tea.